Welcome back, community. This is another excuse for Jason and Joel to sit down and talk about toys and other interests, hobbies, and the collecting lifestyle. You're invited to participate in our conversation. This is the Order of Battle. Recently, I had received the VSS, which I had told you about. That was Victor's Venomous Sea Serpent, which was the Cobra aircraft carrier, right? So I kind of jumped the gun on this one. Let's put it together in the front yard. We stretch out this big tarp so it kind of looked like water in the driveway. Set up the flag, set up the Night Striker, the whale, a couple tactical battle platforms, the whole nine. And the whole time I'm doing this, I'm throwing stuff on Twitter and I'm having a good time. And I pull down the VSS box and then I realize I don't have the instructions for this thing. I reach out to Victor. And of course, Victor is at the Grand Canyon with his family. He shoots me over the PDFs anyway, but it reminds me that I also didn't go out and get the screws that I'm going to need for this thing. I flubbed that one. I retaped the box, you know, set it aside, and we just spent all day. When we set up, the whole driveway was in shadow. Of course, with the sun moving, suddenly, like, we had zero shadow, and it was like 93 degrees. And across the street, there's this lady comes over with a child, and she was like, oh, you know, I'm your neighbor, this is my granddaughter, this is pretty amazing. And the little girl's a couple years younger than A. She asks to play, and we've been like physically distancing for a while now, right? And then they had been physically distancing as well because grandpa's not doing well, the little girl has, you know, her own health issues. So it felt fairly safe. Let the kids play. A became Encyclopedia Britannica of G.I. Joe to this little girl every time she had a question. She was like, hey, what's the name of this vehicle? And he would give the year, the detail, variations, the nine, every figure, every weapon. The little girl didn't care. She just wanted to have fun. I think they were here for like an hour and a half and she played the whole time. It was kind of incredible. You know, and that's just like one of the things that's been going on lately. What about what's been going on with your world?
I am back in full swing at work, you know, back to 10-hour days, because every builder in the city seems to forget that the world was on pause. So everybody wants their stuff done, you know, whatever. That's what I like to do. So it's, you know, it is what it is. Couple of my bands are starting to get back together. You know, our practice space, we're not standing on top of each other anyways. You know, pretty much everybody stopped getting together for months. So life is kind of getting back to normal. The first week of working 60 hours is pretty rough. Kind of shifting back into how I lived for 2 years straight. But yeah, it hasn't really left much time for anything within our realm of things, unfortunately.
Yeah, the last time we talked about your job, you were working short hours. You weren't working a full schedule yet.
Yeah. That didn't last very long.
Evidently.
There was also kind of I'm making a bigger effort to go out and kind of like hike around a couple of our parks once a week. So I have been still maintaining somewhat of a routine with shooting figures. That's also kind of been nice because it's not quite hot here yet. We've had a couple scorcher days, but like Western New York weather is crazy because I think it was Tuesday. It was like 95, felt like 101. And then today was like 55.
Wow.
Have you been doing any sort of thing socially again? Or, I mean, I know you had your big game weekend that we talked about. But we've both been pretty swamped, so I haven't really heard what's been going on outside of your halls.
Yeah, well, you mentioned the last time about how pre-quarantine, it wasn't always easy to get a hold of me. I, like you, you know, you have your bands, and I have a bunch of random stuff. And one of the things that I used to do for the last decade plus, I have a couple friends that we get together like every other week. So we started talking about when would be appropriate to sort of get back together. And with everything going on, we thought maybe a couple of weeks more before, you know, them coming over to the house, lounging on the couch, that kind of thing. But we needed a nerd moot. So We went to Prince's, got some chicken takeout, and sat in a Walmart parking lot like we were teenagers for about 5 hours. Physically distanced, you know, the good 6 foot apart in lawn chairs in a Walmart parking lot. You know?
Anytime that we went out during this, it kind of just warmed my heart because you'd see in, you know, a parking lot, you'd see all the cars backed into a circle. And if they were SUVs or hatchbacks, you'd see the hatch open, people sitting. And it was just like you said, I mean, I spent all of my teen years into my mid-20s just standing around places before finally I was like, I'm just going to go home.
Right. I haven't had to do that kind of thing since I moved out of my parents' house. Here we are, lawn chairing it up at Walmart, I guess. Legitimately, Walmart was the largest and closest parking lot to Prince's. And Prince's Hot Chicken South is fantastic. And it's been too long since I've eaten there. So it was nice to get some Nashville Hot Chicken in me again.
Well, Nashville Hot Chicken is my favorite food, period. I spent a lot of time in Nashville with one of my previous bands. And that's obviously where I got introduced to it. And there's a long stretch of time before it kind of became a national craze where, like, I was just like, I got to get back down there. I mean, even if I don't see anybody, just for the chicken. Part of my travels to Joe Fest last year included flying out of Atlanta because there's a Hattie B's in Atlanta. And I was like, I got to have it. I got to have it. I can't be down in the South and not get it. There's actually a spot up here that does a pretty authentic job. And we've been going about once a week because I don't want them to go out of business, especially during, because they're fairly new and then, you know, the COVID and all that. And I was like, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that this place can stay. Yeah, when I saw that in the show notes, I got really excited just because it's like my favorite meal, period.
I live very close to Prince's South, but Bolton's is still and has always been my favorite.
Mine too. I've never actually eaten at Prince's because when I was around, they didn't have any sort of not bone-in chicken option. I don't know if that's still the case. Bolton's was my spot.
Yeah, Prince's South does the tenders.
Oh, nice.
I think that's kind of the standard nowadays, right? Bone-in is wonderful, but the tenders are just, it's easy. It's a nice meal. Get it, gun it, go.
Absolutely. So, have you been watching anything or reading anything? What sort of media has been in your house?
Well, I told you last time that I had read Daryl DePriest's book and I was going to get Mitch Legg's book. I finished it and I had thrown a thing on Facebook and on Twitter that's, you know, just a picture of all my sort of Joe books, which included, you know, community creator books, and just asked for book recommendations. I got a few, but I haven't picked up any of those yet. And I'll probably pick them up soon, or at least a couple soon, but Queen's Peril came in, which is a new Star Wars book by E.K. Johnston. So I wanted to jump into that right away because I was already past that point reading and watching in chronological order. And this starts with the campaign and the coronation of Padme Amidala. I'm not too far into it. I just started it. I don't know where this is going or why this book is important, but I like E.K. Johnston. Queen's Shadow, which she also wrote, made the handmaidens people instead of just being some silly plot device in a confusing movie. So that's what I've been reading. But other than that, I don't watch a lot of media, but I did set A down in front of Avatar The Last Airbender because it's on Netflix right now. And he has gone wild every day wanting to watch 3 or 4 episodes. And I don't know if you've ever seen it. This is my 4th watch through. We gunned through all 3 seasons in like a week and a half because every day he was willing to do extra chores, clean up, whatever it took to get Avatar time. We finished season 3 today, and he immediately went to the bookshelf and he grabbed the first trade, The Promise. 4.5 hours later, he'd read the first trade. He's almost done with the second trade, but he just sat there for 4.5 hours reading the Avatar comic books. He's already excited to finish the trade series and move on to The Legend of Korra. So if you haven't seen it, I don't know what you're waiting on.
I will I'll add it to my never-ending list of stuff to get to.
Well, right now it is on Netflix. And I know it was on Netflix at some time prior because I've seen it multiple times and I don't own it on disc. I know you got a never-ending list, and I'm sure you've probably been watching a handful of things yourself lately, but I would bump this up before it gets taken off of Netflix.
Are there any toys for the show?
There are some action figures. There's some 7-inch that just came out, I don't know, sometime recently. And then it looks like there were some 4-inch figures from a few years past. I haven't started going down that road. That said, A's birthday is at the end of August, and he's already told me that he wants Avatar stuff for his birthday. I guess I'll be doing some research soon.
I have been watching The Sopranos for the first time ever. So a buddy of mine who I was watching these mob movies with, every single time we finished a movie, he's like, you got to start The Sopranos. You got to start The Sopranos. You got to start The Sopranos. So finally, I signed up for HBO, and I am halfway through the 4th season, which means that I'm more than halfway through the series. Have you ever seen it?
When it was on regularly, I saw a good portion of it, but I haven't seen all of it. It never really captivated me in that sort of make time for it every week sort of way, because I'm just not a TV watcher, and it's just something I've never gotten back to.
It was never on my radar just because I just didn't care. And then my buddy hyped it up, and I gotta say, it's like, it's interesting because I don't know how much you remember of it, but it doesn't really focus as much on like the mob stuff as much as just like the drama. There's a lot of comic relief. I've been enjoying it. It's been nice because he's actually rewatching it, and we're just kind of messaging back and forth talking about it. I got two other things to throw up. NECA announced like a day ago that they are doing an 8-inch King Kong figure. It went up for a pre-order on Big Bad Toy Store. I didn't pre-order it. Probably will, but NECA has been recently being carried at Target. I would love to be able to go find something in a store again. I haven't really been able to find anything. Not much that I'm interested in that hits stores at this point, but the figure looks amazing. It's got 30 points of articulation. It comes with two heads, two sets of hands. It's going to go great with my cryptids and adventure team stuff because it's an oversized gorilla. Would definitely be undersized in terms of being King Kong, but it'll work great in the picture. And I pre-ordered the newest Mandalorian figure that Hasbro released. That's his like second armor variation, because I realized after trying to find the first one that I'm never going to see that in stores. Just going to pre-order it and pay the extra few dollars for shipping.
You're not wrong. The other day, since we were sitting in a Walmart parking lot, I made the quick run into Walmart. That was a depressing trip. I want to be able to go into a big box store with A and find toys. The Walmart a mile and a half from my house, it ain't the one. There's one aisle of action figures, or I guess half an aisle of action figures because the other half is Lego.
Yep.
That half of an aisle was more bare than populated. There was nothing.
The last Walmart that I was in was a couple weeks ago. Don't really frequent Walmart that often. Their toy section was not there. Maybe two Marvel action figures, period. The only piece of Star Wars memorabilia that wasn't Lego, which they didn't have much of, was one stuffed The Child figure. It was just a barren wasteland. We check Targets fairly often, multiple times a week, because I'm neurotic and I'm always like, Maybe I'll find that 4-inch Mandalorian figure that I've been waiting for, that I have pre-ordered, that may or may not ever come in. Literally, up until 2 weeks ago, there was still stuff from a Rogue One figure and what's his name, Snoke. And that's it. And those are years old at this point.
Yeah.
Years old. It is a very sad thing for me to just have to pre-order everything. Similar to you, like, you know, you want to take A and be able to go find stuff. It's what I like to do. I like to toy hunt. And unfortunately, I can't even find stuff to like convince myself to buy anymore.
speaking of convincing ourselves to buy things, I have had a number of friends reach out to me and send me pictures of their 12-inch Joes, their adventure team, their military Joes. Somebody invited me to a couple 12-inch Joe Facebook groups, and I never should have said anything out loud. To make that worse, we saw that Thousand Toys, Snake Eyes, and Storm Shadow come up for pre-order. It's like $240 a piece. They're based on that 12-inch human synthoid frame, which you already know I'm a fan of, because I...
12-inch or 6-inch?
I thought it was 12, but was it 6?
It says 1/6 scale. I could never keep it straight.
1/6 scale is 12-inch. 6-inch is 1/12.
Yeah, 240 is steep. It's a lot of lettuce.
It is a lot of lettuce. Considering what a 1/6 human synthoid already costs by itself, 240 is not that big of an upcharge. They look very cool. It's not the ninjas we're used to. It's very technopunk. I'm not ruling it out, but I don't know that I can scrape 5 together for specialty ninjas. I want to, but oof.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's kind of where I fall in with a lot of the weird one-off stuff. Even less of the one-off, like, you know, just last episode when I was talking about, you know, sniffing around for a 12-inch figure and looking at the club figures and the hot toy, they were, for the most part, like, just under 200, and that scared me away. I do like the crazy sci-fi look of those figures. Anytime we get anything that's like a reinterpretation, I generally like it. I'll say the same thing I say about everything. Love to see those bad boys in 4-inch scale, but not going to hold my breath.
That takes us back to the last time we talked. You had picked up a ton of articulated icons, and I had gotten the white ninja from my buddy, and we were talking about whether or not to turn him into Storm Shadow, and you had asked about the bare arms, and I was like, I don't know. I didn't do the 20 minutes of research before we jumped on the call, and by 20 minutes of research, I didn't empty the bag. We did not have the bare arms, because after looking at eBay, no, the bare arms are like $80 to $100 just by themselves, because they're, I guess, Kickstarter exclusives. I didn't know that when we talked last time. A started playing with it, and he did not want to Storm Shadow it out. For a while there, he was using it as the Hard Master while playing with the 6-inch Snake Eyes. And then at another point, he was using it as Old Man Storm Shadow and Old Man Snake Eyes. The flexibility is really neat in the legs and everything, but the chest and waist, after messing around with the Thousand Toys knockoff, I guess, because I didn't realize it's getting a knockoff, and Snake Eyes, it's all right. I don't know that I'm going to go down that line. I am excited for 6-inch Joes, and once I have 6-inch Joes, maybe I'll find something that I want to do in the 6-inch realm. And part of the problem with like jumping into a 12-inch line right now, which I'm totally drooling over and I'm loving reading the books and I'm enjoying the flirt, or jumping into something like articulated icons, is that we're still going hard with G.I. Joe. Since the last time we talked, one of the toy shops near us had a big sale going on, so I went into that, and maybe I should have mentioned that earlier when you asked if I had been doing anything with anybody, because Todd and I went down to that, met up with Ryan and a bunch of others. So that was Starbase, and then we stopped by Totally Rad. So basically 15 minutes south of me and 15 minutes north of me are toy shops. I ended up grabbing a bunch of convention figures from like a $2 bin of rando figures, which is kind of cool, like the Swamp Vipers and a Street Hawk. You know, that kind of stuff. And then I also grabbed a couple more Blancas to go with the Mega Monster focus that we had been working on. I might have told you about that the last time we talked. We've been working through the Mega Marines and the Mega Monsters. And then a really cool thing at Totally Rad, they had a Mask pillowcase.
Nice.
We already have a G.I. Joe pillowcase. Took the Mask pillowcase home. We washed it, threw it on one of the pillows. He pulls out the G.I. Joe pillowcase, throws it on his other. So those are now both what he's using as his regular pillowcases. These 1985, 1987 pillowcases. It's kind of cool.
It's awesome.
that kind of stuff, you know, along with, you know, us doing the Mega Monsters and Mega Marines, it's hard to justify these other lines right now. Recently, have you gotten any big hauls? I mean, I know the last time we talked, you got the Mother Load.
Like I hinted at, there's the single biggest sale I've ever done with one person online. So I kind of needed a couple weeks to breathe. So when I pre-ordered the newest version of the Mandalorian, I threw in the Black Series, the child figure, which has caused a little bit of an uproar to people who don't understand scaling because it's tiny, as it should be. So it's listed in the 6-inch listing, but it is not a 6-inch action figure. It's in scale with a 6-inch action figure. So I threw that in, and it's cute. It's a fun little thing. It's actually got more articulation than some of the 4-inch Star Wars figures. I got the random email that after about 2 months, my 6-inch Mandalorian finally showed up from the original release. That's my big haul of the week, is I got a 6-inch Star Wars and a tiny little The Child.
You had sent me some of the complaints about the child's size, and it confused me. Knowing that it's a baby, et cetera, I'm not sure what people were expecting.
I guess some people thought it was going to be 6 inches tall.
That would be worthy of complaining. If I got a 6-inch baby to hang out with my 6-inch Mandalorian, that would be insane.
Be terrible. It was awesome to get this Mandalorian figure because I've never seen one in hand.
Okay.
I never saw it when it originally got released. I know there was, I think, the carbonized version and the standard version. I've never seen one in hand. When I opened up the box, it was exciting. It's a, you know, it's a solid figure. I'm still like, I still have the same thing I have with all other 6-inch figures. Like, it thrills me for a little bit, and then I just kind of set it on my desk or I set it on a shelf. You know, it's unfortunately, it's not my scale, but I'm learning to love it because that's what I'm going to be able to get. That's maybe the smallest haul I've had since we've been recording these shows.
The toy store stuff was not, like, I didn't spend much money. It was very light because we had been going after the Mega Marines. I'm still looking for a couple cards. I would like more Bio and Monstro Vipers, but the one that's been hard for me to find is the Mega Viper. I've either lost out or forgot about a couple auctions. Otherwise, yeah, not much myself. Since we're the Order of Battle, let's take a look at one of our pages. Issue 1, November 1986, page 1. Brad Armbruster, codename Ace. The hotshot pilot who loves to play cards and gamble and take the other Joe's money. It's a fantastic figure that came with the Sky Striker and holds up today so long as you can find his helmet. The uniform itself was killer, especially with the crotch that was a completely different color break. And even the Battlecopter version and the Ghost Striker version were great figures. And then into the middle years with the 97 tannish brown, all great figures. But 98, when they came out with the version 1 in black, he felt kind of mispackaged with that camo conquest. But you throw him with the Night Boomer, either modern or vintage, and it's perfect. Brad, like Outback and a couple others, went through a number of hair color changes from figure to figure. So while he liked to gamble, maybe he was hiding from his debtors. But there's no version of this figure, at least in the vintage and middle years O-ring construction, that I don't like, that I don't enjoy. We have been pairing them up with our different Sky Strikers. They all have their place.
So the other night, you and I were on the phone. I was moving stuff around in my room, and I stumbled into this custom figure that I had bought off eBay. Thought it was based off from a vintage figure. And I sent it to you, and you're like, the closest thing I think it looks like is an Aero Viper. For some reason, Sludge Viper stuck out in my brain. You're like, I don't know, it's black and silver, and it's got some gold trim. You're like, that's not the Sludge Viper I know. So I grabbed the Blomo book, and just nothing looks like this figure. It led me to go and scour through eBay. It was, in fact, a Sludge Viper. The listing said, quote unquote, original design. I don't know. It's a sharp looking figure. Very happy with it. Flipping through the Belomo book, I started in the back and was working my way to the beginning and was just kind of seeing all, you know, the neon 90s, the quote unquote wacky Joes or whatever. For whatever reason, in the past year or so, I've really warmed up to the more outlandish Joes and the more, like, you know, whatever. It's exciting to me for whatever reason right now. So
I agree.
It's ironic because you guys are getting the Mega Marines. I pitched this kind of idea to you to just kind of just as just a question. I came up with four. I know you came up with four. Our favorite wackiest G.I. Joes. My first one is the Heat Viper. I made it a point to go with what makes it wacky to me is not it's a guy in a yellow jumpsuit, but more or less the wackiness that's tied with it. So the Heat Viper, you know, is an anti-tank troop that is loaded with like insanely high-tech missile launchers with an integrated system and all this stuff. And it's like taking out a tank is pretty primal. You need something big and it's got to be effective. One of the things that I always like about Cobra and G.I. Joe in general, but specifically Cobra, is they go above and beyond for their specialties. When you read the file card for the Heat Viper, that's the wackiness. I mean, and I love the look of the figure. I actually love the look of the vintage figure. I love the 50th figure. I'm not going to read the 50th file card. That would be exhausting. But when you read it and you see all the sci-fi stuff they're packing in there and just the ridiculousness, I'm just like, it's A-okay to have this insane super techno weapon because he's in a yellow jumpsuit. Like, he doesn't need like a quote-unquote real world like anti-tank weapon. Heat Viper's my first one. Who's your first one?
Since I'm vintage, wacky is easy. We have the Lunatrix Empire. We have the Mega Monsters. Doing a wacky Joe thing is sort of cheat code. So I tried to take a step back and not choose one of those guys. My first one is Zanzibar. He's a dreadnought pirate with an airskiff. He's got a Zartan adjacent name or family adjacent name. I had him in 87 when I was 12 and 13 years old. I loved the weird hair ponytail thing. I love the skiff. He's a pirate for Christ's sakes. No, it doesn't make any sense. But the club put out a box set of dreadnoughts where they named them Cletus and Bubba, and they were bad kit bashes with bad recolorings. They just basically did a bunch of rednecks for the Australian Outback biker gang. I'll take a Zanzibar any day of the week.
My second is Night Creeper Leader. My buddy Joe, who I often reference, sent me a screenshot of someone doing, basically they were clearing out all of their club figures. Everything was carded. I had ordered the Night Creeper Leader through him, the club's modern rendition. In the same lot, he was offering the Night Creeper for the Arctic variant or whatever. And he sent me that figure, mistakenly. Got it all sorted out. One of the weirdest things, it's not that weird for some club figures, but the bubble slid right off the card clean.
Oh, wow.
It was like the bubble was never attached. The reason that he is wacky to me is not, again, this is going to be the last time I say it during this segment. It's not the colors. It's the fact that when you read his file card, he's this high-tech, crazy ninja assassin. And then you look at the figure and you look at his accessories. He's shirtless. He's got a jumping harness, bladed weapons, and Uzis. And he's wearing a bandana over his eyes. Now, looks awesome. And for whatever reason, it works for me. But there's nothing high-tech about that. Like, it's real bare bones.
It's a goofy character in vintage as well. But he does get play here in our house, too.
As it's becoming more and more apparent, I got a thing for ninjas.
You clearly do.
Doesn't matter the color, I'll take it.
For me, the second Cobra would be Sky Creeper. I like Sky Creeper. And I thought Sky Creeper was an army builder at first, but in looking at its card, he's a constant criminal who uses gliders to pull off sneaky crimes. But then he's dressed in the brightest yellow and teal. I mean, the Joes would need like solar eclipse glasses just to look at him. And I'm not bagging on like the neon 90s. I love the colors. But to be a sneaky criminal who uses gliders to do sneaky crimes, it's garishly bright. And he's the leader of the Night Vultures, who are dark-clad, serious glider night troops. They look like ninjas. It's wild. I love the build. Padded legs, the belly pouches, the chest pistol, all of it. The weapon he comes with looks like Megatron. I'm super down with this guy, but I would never use him as ultra sneaky criminal in those bright colors. Like, honestly, I, even knowing what his file card says, I still think of him as a troop builder and making like the interrogator in that little copter thing the leader of all the gliders, even though he's not in a glider.
I recently got the club's Sky Creeper and fell in love with him as well. He's part of this weird trip down the neon light lane that I've been going down. But number three for me, I'm switching over to Joe's now. I went with Scoop. Scoop is a character that wasn't necessarily on my radar until the club put out the FSS figure. And then I wound up watching his, I think he's introduced in the Deke series, if I'm not wrong.
You are not wrong. He is.
And that right there is what solidified him on this list. If Scoop was sent to the battlefield to film, there's those weird things where we believe there's rules in war, I guess. And like, you know, you're not supposed to hit journalists and medics and all that. So the bright orange, I guess, could signify something like that. That's neither here nor there. But the story from the cartoon that he is a Crimson Guard, and then by the end of a 22-minute episode is now on the Joe team with a uniform. That's the wacky part that I love, where it's just like, this is completely asinine, but I'm down with it. I ended up scoring the FSS Scoop figure from the club store when they were running, I think, a Black Friday sale.
Well, if we want to talk about Joe's, I went with version 3 Bazooka. I don't know if you know this one.
Let me ask, because I want to see if I can remember. Is that the like fishing trip bazooka?
That is 100% the fishing trip bazooka.
Yes.
So here's the wacky part about fishing trip bazooka. The look is like the joke about him being fishing trip bazooka isn't a joke. Without jest, his file card has 3 or 4 fishing puns. His file card amounts to Bazooka misses fishing, and any combat situation makes him rage-filled because he has to fight Cobra instead of go fishing. I am not joking. It is beyond moronic. It is a clear indication that Hasbro had never should have fired Larry for doing the file cards. But legitimately, this is a well-done figure with only a couple head-scratchers, right? The only nitpicks you can really make about the figure could be like the grenade bracelet. His sidearm is weirdly on top of his thigh instead of like down the side of his leg. But the colors are awesome. The tiger striping is awesome. The boonie cap looks great. And it's not even the first boonie cap in the line, right? Like, we have to give that to Muskrat. If this figure was given just a little bit different of a gear and a properly written file card, he would probably be a much better loved figure.
Hey, he's a civilian with a little military twist. So to round out my list, I went with Pathfinder. Pretty obvious. Our guy comes with a weed whacker. I dig it. I kind of sat on the fence with picking him up for quite a while. I saw him at CoilCon, and when I saw him in hand, I was charmed. And I got him. I don't regret it. I mean, the negative sides are his vest is entirely too big. But if you don't like something in the modern line, you can change it. You know, when you read his file card and he's a jungle specialist, I think it's cute that he comes with a weed whacker. I think he's a good character. I believe he's also featured in the early Deke episodes with Ambush.
Yeah.
The interaction with those two is... that's a whole different topic, but...
yeah, it's rough. Pathfinder's an amazing character if you take away his gear.
Yeah, I love the deco. I love the look. I'm always down with anybody in any sort of Rakondo style hat. There's just something about that hat. Who's your last one?
I think I failed to mention it with Sky Creeper, but Sky Creeper with his colors, he looks like a Joe. My second Joe I chose because he looks like a Cobra. I chose Blanca as my second wacky Joe choice. Whether green or blue, like, I think it's a solid use of Road Pig's body with the unique head sculpt. It's fun. It works immediately recognizable for who the figure's supposed to be. But personally, I like using Blanca as part of the Mega Monster group instead of a singular person. Like, you know, he's already furry and creates electricity. So for me, he fits in as a genetic experiment by Mindbender. The Mega Monsters are kind of a great bridge between Sunbow back to Hasbro for like all the weird, wacky, high science stuff that the cartoon did.
Absolutely.
And Blanca is not Cobra, but he looks like he should be. Whereas Sky Creeper looks like a Joe, but is a Cobra.
100%.
You know, aside from the wacky Joes and wacky Cobras, the other thing that you and I had been talking a lot about lately is Complex. We both kickstarted it. I went with a mid-level, I think, and then you went with the big boy package. The backer kit is open, and I keep looking at this. I look at this like every day, and you and I have done a lot of talking about, you know, what we should and shouldn't order, and you've already have stuff, so you already have like this really good baseline, and I'm sort of doing the mental math of how much extra do I want to put it into a thing that I have zero of today, a lot of hope that it's going to be a cool part of our play pattern tomorrow.
I went in hard, like I seem to do with everything. You know, you and I have been going back and forth, and the best advice that I can give you or anyone if they wanted to ask me is two things. The floor packs come with two pieces, and you can use them as walls. The wall packs are one piece. One side looks like an exterior door. The other side looks like a computer wall. Planning on what you're going to buy, understand that the floor pack works as walls too, and you're going to use more floors as walls than you would walls as walls. And then the biggest thing that I can say is look at the pictures that he has posted in the Kickstarter or online and just start to count the squares you see. Because once you start looking at it in a physical sense, it's easier to kind of get a grasp of what you would want. Because all this is personal. It's all modular. There's no set instructions. There's no blueprints. This is your brain. This is your mind. This is your world, your rules. If you've got the scratch, he is setting an amazing deal on the Series 1 stuff. I believe it's $13 a set, and that's for the wall and or the floor packs. So if you've got the scratch, take advantage of that discount. On the flip side to that is I got all these walls and floors and nothing to put inside of it. This time around, I'm going to balance it out. So I'm going to have plenty of stuff to fill my complex center with, and I'm still going to add in extra floor packs. Now that we're going to have accessory pieces that will provide a way for the figures to get from floor to floor, I want to build some sort of crazy thing that I can shoot pictures in with multiple levels of action.
And one of the things that I want to do as well is look at Dio Warriors and other places that are making cool stuff to kind of go inside the base.
Very similar to what you talked about a few minutes ago with trying to balance out buying other lines and going hard within the G.I. Joe line, and you've got masks. It doesn't take long to spend a lot of money.
You and I both have been trying to take more photos lately. I've been doing this daily battle report. Whatever A is doing, I try and find an angle to take a halfway okay picture and then invite others to share pictures as well, which is hit or miss. But there's been two guys that very consistently respond with their own battle pictures. This guy, Cody Ball, and this other guy, Jonathan Hernandez, and they're doing it on Facebook, have been hitting me with a lot of their own battle pics. Now, other people have too, but those two guys have really been very consistent in it. But then also, we both went out and shot photos with Scrap Iron, Rakondo, and a couple other things. And we've been talking about other photo projects.
I think the idea we came up with, keep this momentum rolling for both of us, is picking either a couple of linchpin figures or doing like a blind thing where it's just like, hey, grab X amount of random figures. I'll grab X amount of random figures. Let's see what we come up with. It's fun because that's, I would like to get to a point where you and I are doing very little communication about what we're doing and seeing how close we can get these photos to line up with the same characters or, you know, whatever, however we end up.
I literally do not need another hobby or thing to take up more time. I'm already struggling with so many of the artistic hobbies I have. And yet, taking these photos of figures is one that I've wanted to do for a long time. It's something I get to do with A, not just by myself. Taking that step into it has been a lot of fun, and I really appreciate the nudge in that direction.
So shifting gears, in a previous episode, we talked about my Night Creepers, and I talked about kind of having that moment of using Marauder stuff after they put up their custom Night Creeper. And I started to do that, and I started to put a cart together, and I found legs that I liked, and then I realized they had, like, no torsos left. So that went on hold again. I know that they will restock, or at Joe Fest, I will just go hard and buy as many setups as I need. And it'll actually give me time to get the Marauder Night Creeper in, see the gear they paired it with, see the gear I already have set aside, and kind of figure out how I want these guys geared out. You guys kind of jumped onto, and from what it sounds like, you guys are almost done with the Mega Marines. Is there anything that A has expressed interest in next?
We're getting close to being done with the Mega Marines. I'm loath to move on to the next thing until I get like cut cards or full cards. He is at that point where he's really enjoying reading the file cards. So the next thing is that we're talking about is like, do we go back and focus on the last three mask vehicles? Do we focus on Dio Warriors or take a break so that we can, you know, hit Complex hard? Still mulling some of that over. I think he might be wanting to go into DEF after Mega Marines. So keeping it at that 92, 93 level. If we went into DEF, there's 11 domestic, one fun school, and one vehicle to sort of bang out the vintage line. I don't know. We've got to sit down and talk about it pretty seriously. You know, I mean, what about you? Like, are you focused on anything?
I don't know where my focus is. I am working on another pile of figures from the guy that I bought the last big pile from, significantly smaller. I'm kind of just grabbing the last bit of club stuff that he had that I wanted. I might make him an offer on all of his standard stuff too. But in terms of my next big focus, I'm kind of taking a step back, breathing a little bit, and just kind of see where, what's going to spark my interest next. You know what I mean? Like, I'm legitimately trying to not force anything. I think we have run this conversation through there and back. Let's pull the plug. This has been the Order of Battle. Reach out to us through email at orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. Twitter is Order of Battle PD, and Instagram is Order of Battle Pod. Let us know what you think. Let us know the wacky Joes and Cobras that you love. Let us know if you're diving into photo projects, if you're finding new ways to enjoy the hobby. Let us know anything you'd like to share with us. We want to thank Self Help for the music. You really make the show come together, and we appreciate it. Thanks again.